is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore bridge collapse. I'm Sherry Preston. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says it was a power outage on that large cargo ship that caused it to ram into the key bridge over Baltimore Harbor.
We can confirm that the crew notified authorities of a power issue.
The governor going on to say that once power was lost, the warning went out.
No, once the warning came up and once notification came up that there was a mayday, who literally by being able to stop cars from coming over the bridge, these people are heroes. They saved lives last night.
As to the people who fell from the bridge inside their vehicles, Maryland Transportation Secretary Paul Wiedefeld has the numbers.
A total of 8, one rescued and in hospital, one not in hospital, but it has, we have communicated with that person, and then 6 that we are searching for.
This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in Wisconsin today and tomorrow. Mitch Landers spearheaded the president's $1 trillion infrastructure plan. He's here to talk to local leaders about the economy. Stops include Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, La Crosse, Sheboygan, and Wausau. Political spending by anonymous donors is reaching record highs. Anna Masolia is the author of a new report by Open Secrets. She says that kind of money often pays for misleading attack ads.
When you have dark money groups fueling this spending, the voter may not know what interest the secret donors behind that have.
Masolia says dark money often comes from 501c4 nonprofits, which have few legal limits on how they can spend their money. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX, The Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A Packers-themed bar in downtown La Crosse is scheduled for demolition. Glory Days will be torn down in a couple of weeks. The green and gold building was damaged almost 2 years ago by a fire that destroyed the building next to it. After no bids were sent to the city's Public Works Committee, a private contractor applied to knock down the building. Demolition is scheduled for April 8th. A construction project is underway to add lanes to Highway 14 in Westby. The project will widen North Main Street and also add a roundabout at its intersection with Main Street. The cost of the project is $11.8 million, which was approved by the DOT and Governor Tony Evers. Highway 14 will stay open with some detours, and construction will last until next summer. Today, temperatures will fall as snow chances increase. Less than an inch of snow is expected across most of the Coulee region. It'll be gusty today with winds getting as high as 25 miles per hour. It'll be sunny the next couple of days, and temperatures will warm up to the mid-50s by the end of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripescast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Lakers tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the LA Lakers at Fiserv Forum. LeBron James not expected to play due to a sore ankle. I asked the Bucks' Damian Lillard, who does he expect to guard him tonight?
We talked about it, but I never really worry about it too much since I've been on this team because we got so many weapons. I know that I can play the game honest in the right way, and we'll have a chance to win regardless.
College basketball, the Badgers women's team with a 67-62 victory over Southern Indiana in the WNIT. They'll host Illinois State Thursday night. Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up spring training with a game against the Rockies before heading to New York for the season opener Thursday against the Mets. What kind of a team should fans expect this year? Manager Pat Murphy.
We're going to play hard, that's for sure. Super bunch of guys that I think the fans will fall in love with and compete. And careful, because they might just believe themselves right into contention.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Scattered rain showers this morning will change over to some light snow by later this morning into this afternoon. Our high today near 40 this morning, dropping into the 20s by late afternoon. It's going to be windy too with a west wind gusting to 25 or 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 21. Tomorrow, sunshine, 36. We are back to 45 by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. Sorry, I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd Alba
here.
Going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Give us a call, send in a text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We have a really busy show coming up today. Todd Alba, our friend and colleague,
ooh, baby,
is going to be joining us at 10:33, and we're going to learn more about the two referendum that are on the April 2nd ballot. It's a week from today. The election is a week from today. Two referendum on the ballots all across the state. So Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to join us to explain what these referendum mean and why this effort to enact this right now. So again, you can always join us. Call and or text at 855-75-CIVIC. A reminder to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps.
Why?
Because, Greg Bach, we have this wonderful statewide contest going on right now. It is our Ride Into Spring Text to Win contest. Every weekday at 7, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., you get a keyword that you have to text in. You have the chance to pick up an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody, even the people who win, there's one winner every hour with that overnight stay. Then everybody is in the drawing for two grand prizes, one with new bicycles, the other with outdoor patio furniture and a fancy schmancy blender. So
things I love in my blenders, fancy and schmancy.
It's yep. It's a special thing. So go to the app. Go to the station that you listen to, whether it's on WISS in Oshkosh, WRCE, maybe you're listening in Amory on WLAK. You want to text the word GOLF, G-O-L-F, text the word GOLF, and that's going to get you entered again for that overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, and then be entered to win one of our two grand prizes. Text the word GOLF right now, G-O-L-F, GOLF. To whatever Civic Media station you're listening to across the network via the Civic Media app. All right, we want to start off with a little update about that bridge collapse that happened in Baltimore early this morning. At this point, I'm seeing different things, Greg, but yeah. They're still looking for between 4 and 6 people. This container ship in Baltimore just crashed into this support of the Francis Key Bridge. And if you've seen video of it, and you and I both watched some video this morning, it went down like matchsticks.
Yeah, just as soon as it hit, boom, and like not even the middle part or one, the whole thing comes down.
Yeah,
and
it just collapsed.
I watched it this morning and I gasped. I was truly shocked by an image, which, you know, in today's day and age, you don't see that often. Like not a lot is shocking anymore.
Right.
But immediately just couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Governor Wes Moore has confirmed that the ship's crew issued a mayday and said that they were experiencing a power issue, which if you see the video and there's different angles coming out now, The lights on the ship went dark, and then they went back on before this collision. So that seems to be corroborated by that they were having power issues. He also said that, thank goodness they sent in that Mayday, because that gave transportation officials the chance to stop traffic from growing over the bridge. Yeah. Granted, this was 1 o'clock in the morning, but still, the governor, Wes Moore, says these people are heroes. They saved lives last night. And again, it's I'm seeing different numbers. Between 4 and 6 people are still unaccounted for as they continue searching at the site of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Couldn't even imagine what would happen if this is just, you know, not even rush hour, just midday traffic, just, you know, 11 a.m. in the morning.
I heard a report earlier this morning that some like 35,000 cars cross that bridge every day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it could have been so much worse. I mean, certainly it's a tragedy for the people who have been lost and the people who have been injured. But yes, in this instance, it could have been considerably worse. This also led me to an article of the other bridge collapses. This is certainly not the first time that this has happened. But Channel 3000 has a compilation of some of the bridge collapses in the U.S. from 1960 to 2015. There were 35 major bridge collapses around the world because of ship or barge collision. And in the United States, 18 of those happened here in the U.S. Again, how easily we forget, Greg Bach, because I had forgotten about the vast majority of these.
Yeah.
March of 2009, a vessel pushing barges rammed into the Pops Ferry Bridge in Biloxi, Mississippi. 150-foot section of the bridge collapsed into the bay. Nobody was hurt, though. Queen Isabella Causeway in 2001, a tugboat and barge hit the causeway in Port Isabel, Texas. 8 people dead. 1998, the Eads Bridge. 50 people were injured. The Big Bayou Cannot. In 1993, another tugboat hit a railroad bridge near Mobile, Alabama, and then an Amtrak train was coming along right after that and derailed, leaving 47 people dead.
I have never heard of any of these. The only one that I remember is the one from the 90s. Here's the thing is, I remember the video. I remember seeing the bridge collapse and a car going down and coming back up, but it wasn't even a bridge collapsing, just a piece of the bridge fell out.
I remember
it's,
that.
Yep. It's almost like I'm sure they get reported, but you would think with the rapidity of it all, it'd be on our minds a lot. I mean, that's just, one is too many.
Oh, yeah.
But like, this is almost a thing where you're like, why, we know why it's happening. And not to make it political or whatever, hopefully Infrastructure Act will do its job to infuse those projects with the money it needs to get them done so they're safer for people to drive across.
Well, and if you remember, the one I do remember is from 2007. That's when the 35W collapsed over the Mississippi in Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
Remember that? That was from 2007. At that point, the House voted 2 days later to spend $250 million to repair it. The vote in the House, 421-0. It passed the Senate by unanimous consent, and it was signed into law by President Bush 5 days later.
I mean,
that would never happen now.
Nope. But that's the thing, too, is if it goes to show anything, passing major pieces of legislation like an infrastructure bill every however many years they need to do it is a good thing. It's an investment. It's proactive instead of reactive because now you've got a bridge that's gone, not a bridge they can work on or shrink a lane. It's gone. And now where are they going to be? So when people complain about infrastructure and blah, 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 these are investments we're making in our roads, bridges, and everywhere. They need to happen. This can't be a political thing.
It shouldn't be a political thing.
You're right. Let me rephrase that. It shouldn't be a political thing. And you know what? It isn't a political thing.
Oh, that depends upon who you listen to.
It isn't a political thing. I say it is not. You can make it one, but at the bottom of it all, the fruit at the bottom of that cup of yogurt, it's not political. It's tasty.
Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
Oh, God.
Chiming in, of course. Looks deliberate to me, according to Alex Jones. A cyber attack is probable. World War III has already started.
This dude wants to get sued again?
Why hasn't he paid any of that money, by the way, that he owes the Sandy Hook family?
Because, Jane, he doesn't have the money. He is broke. His show barely stays on the air as it is.
Other Looney Tune conspiracy theorists now say the ship was cyber attacked, which forced the ship to crash into the bridge. A guy from Media Matters is trying to blame it on Israel.
Okay.
And then other conspiracy loons that I saw on Twitter this morning are blaming Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation.
Cool. Yep. Really making an effort to be the positive force in the world, my friends. Way to go.
And then, of course, you can always count on Fox News. Maria Bartiromo this morning blaming it on the problems at the southern border. I know.
Wow, that's...
It's a stretch, eh?
That's an Olympic stretch. That's like gymnastic-type stretching. That is... If it wasn't so disgusting, it'd almost be impressive.
Because of the reach. Yeah.
You know why that bridge collapsed? Birds. Birds aren't real.
There you go. Again, we certainly hope that they find the 4 to 6 people who are still missing.
Yeah.
It could have been considerably, considerably worse. That's not any solace to the people who have lost loved ones, certainly. But again, this is why we have the infrastructure law. This is why they're fixing the Blatnik Bridge in Superior in Duluth.
Proactive.
Exactly.
Yep.
Proactive.
Thank you. I'm sorry, but thank you to all the legislators who voted for this package, because I think we'll see in 5 to 10 years how much of a difference it will make. And I'm sending that thanks to everyone who voted for it.
855-75-CIVIC. If you ever want to join the show, call or text 855-752-4842. Looking at the text line, Greg Bach, all kinds of people texting in the word golf.
Oh, my God, why? Why are they doing that?
To be in the drawing for an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in our text to win statewide contest. And I don't know if you heard this, but I was listening to Todd Alba yesterday, who's on from noon to 2.
I love Todd.
They had so much traffic with the keyword that they crashed the system.
Man, I'm jealous. I want to crash a system. That'd be so cool. We did get a text from Mark from the SAC.
Oh, great.
MTG is soon to tell us it was Jewish space lasers.
Yeah. That'll be next, right? That will be next.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll keep this going, and then we're going to move on to what is going on in the Supreme Court today. A big, big case about mifepristone.
Yep.
And Mark from the SAC, I see you there. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Heard the catchphrase that's sweeping the nation?
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
People are saying Jackson Hugh, yeah, to Jackson Hewitt because they love saving money on tax prep. Do you love saving money? Then switch to Jackson Hewitt today and pay less than last year. Thousands of people have already made the switch. Why haven't you? Stop waiting and start filing. You won't get a better deal or a better catchphrase. All together now.
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
What you want, baby? Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Sweet Gal B coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're talking about the collision between a container ship and the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Officials are still looking for about 4 to 6 people who are missing. This happened about 1 o'clock in the morning, which is a blessing, I guess, if there's anything good about that, that there were fewer cars that would have been on the bridge had it happened during the daytime.
Yeah.
And it seems that the crew had called in a mayday. They were having some power issues before they collided with this pillar of the bridge. But if you see a video of it, it's terrifying. It collapses like a structure made out of matches.
Yeah, it really does. The ship hits the support and then the middle goes down and the sides go down within 20 seconds.
Yeah, it happened so quickly. And of course, now there's all kinds of conspiracy theorists who are jumping all over this, trying to tie in, let's see, Israel, Pete Buttigieg, the southern border, and a cyber attack with World War III already underway, courtesy of kooky Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Alex Jones should be silenced with a ball gag and stuck in prison where he belongs.
Tell us how you really feel, dude.
Well, for the Blatnik Bridge, I mean, I grew up there and I crossed that bridge many, many times. When I was a kid, there was a store at the foot of the bridge on the Minnesota side called Gold Finds, and the joke was on the Superior side, Gold Finds by the John, that making a reference there because they were angry about named after John Blatnik rather than I. Wisconsin politician but it's just sad. I mean, let's remember that Tom Tiffany was complaining about how much money we're going to spend on repairing that bridge.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Tom Tiffany voted against the infrastructure bill, and that bridge is a vital link between, you know, Minnesota and Duluth, in spite of the fact they have another one, the Bong Bridge, that's just to the west of that bridge. But I mean, it is a vital connection, and that. You know, Tiffany should be embarrassed to be talking like that.
He doesn't have the capacity to be embarrassed.
Yeah, and I don't know that anyone ever calls him on anything.
No.
You know, I don't know that he meets with constituents and ever has to justify his decisions, Mark. And I got to give you credit for driving over the Blatnik Bridge. My sister and I visited Duluth Superior a couple of summers ago. I found that bridge to be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
So bad when I lived up there, and you know, it was, or that a little longer ago than that, actually dating a girl from Duluth.
Back and forth across that bridge a lot.
And I had, you know, I had an aunt and cousin, aunt and uncle and cousins that lived over in Duluth, and then up the shore in Silver Bay. I remember going back and forth across that bridge, and my grandfather actually worked on that bridge.
Oh, wow.
You know, back a year, you know, decades and decades ago, of course, that when he was working, and he related the stories, I think I've said before, that he dropped a wrench and took forever to hit the water, watching it go down.
Oh.
I know. Greg and I both just had a physical reaction to that. Thank you so much, Mark. Really, really appreciate it. Always appreciate you listening as well. If you want to join us, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're talking now about the Supreme Court, which is hearing arguments on whether or not to get rid of mifepristone. 63% of abortions are now medication abortions. This will have an effect across the country. Even in states where abortion is legal.
Yeah.
This is going to have a nationwide impact if the Supremes rule for this decision. And there's so much disturbing stuff around this, Greg. So one of the judges who initiated this, that ruled to restrict access to mifepristone, is James Ho.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the legal group behind this case, Alliance Defending Freedom, made six payments from 2018 through 2022 to James Ho's wife, Allison.
Yes.
Who is a federal appellate lawyer who has argued in front of the Supreme Court and has deep connections to the conservative legal movement leading the attack on the right to an abortion. That seems stinky to me.
It seems like a story we've heard before, definitely.
The payments do not violate the court's code of conduct, according to Stephen Gillers, who's a New York University emeritus professor of law. But again, some court watchers argue that Ho's failure to recuse himself illustrates why public trust in the judiciary is crumbling. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all from The Guardian. The Ho's are part of an increasing number of power couples in the conservative movement, in which the wife of a prominent official works in the background, laying the groundwork for GOP policies that their spouses will then rule upon mm-hmm. or legislate.
Yeah.
James Ho has also irritated traditionalists from the moment of his swearing in. Guess where he decided to have his swearing in ceremony held?
I know, but please tell us all.
The private library of Harlan Crow.
Can we get an evil laugh, Calvin? My God.
Harlan Crow, the mega millionaire who we now know has lavished Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas with trips on his yacht and helped pay off $6,000 per month private school tuition for Thomas's great nephew.
And who is Clarence Thomas married to?
She would be Ginny Thomas.
And what has Ginny Thomas been really, really concentrating on these past few years?
January 6th.
Exactly. So once again, this is just the same old of...
It just is. It does not... And
we're both speechless.
I know. It's pretty irritating. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here on Thursday, and yes. I know that we will talk about this with her then. But this is going on right now. The court is expected to issue its ruling sometime in June. If earlier decisions, including Dobbs, are any indication, they're going to rule to ban it.
Oh, absolutely.
They just will. Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. If we have the Supreme Court basically making a medical research decision that mifepristone is not safe, why? Well, we're going to have all kinds of stuff like making a medical decision about when a woman can have certain medical treatments, or maybe even have state legislatures deciding that there are only 9 things that medical cannabis can be used to treat, or possibly even, a special prosecutor saying that certain politicians are suffering from poor memory and memory loss. Why, just think of the terrible things that could happen. Oh, they've already happened.
Yep. Thank you so much, Jack. We're up against the clock here. Thank you so very much. Yeah, and if you're not a woman and you think these kinds of decisions aren't going to affect you somewhere down the road, I have a bad news for you.
Because once they come for some, they're going to come for all.
You bet. News is coming up next when we return. The one and only our friend, the Todd Father, Todd Alba, will be joining us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Find out what it means to me.
Always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is considering letting school start in August. Local schools like the idea, but the state's tourism industry does not. The owners of resorts, restaurants, and other businesses told a hearing yesterday they need school-age workers during the peak of the summer season. Local schools say they need more flexibility. The change still needs approval from lawmakers and the governor. Efforts to debunk election conspiracy theories in Wisconsin resume tonight in West Bend. That's where Kathy Bernier and the group Keep Our Republic will hold a seminar.
If we have a successful election with no drama or accusations, that will be a success.
Bernier speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. Keep Our Republic was formed to counter doubts about the 2020 election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX The Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. An environmental project for Lake Onalaska picked up county funding last night. La Crosse County approved $50,000 to dredge the lake. Officials overseeing projects for the lake said that sediment deposits were building up, making it harder for fish to find shelter or for boats to get around. The total cost of dredging Lake Onalaska is expected to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Local fundraising is supplementing the county's funding. A construction project is underway to add lanes to Highway 14 in Westby. The project will widen North Main Street and also add a roundabout at its intersection with Main Street. The cost of the project is $11.8 million, which was approved by the DOT and Governor Tony Evers. Highway 14 will stay open with some detours, and construction will last until next summer. Today, temperatures will fall as snow chances increase. Less than an inch of snow is expected across most of the Cooley region. It'll be gusty today with winds getting as high as 25 miles per hour. It'll be sunny the next couple of days, and temperatures will warm up to the mid-50s by the end of the week.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. One of Pete's picks is Knox Goes Away, which is in theaters. If you like Michael Keaton and a nice film noir, I definitely say check it out. Reviews were mostly favorable. The film does not move quickly, instead taking its time, which totally worked, as the plot progressed well and escalated, even throwing in a few subtle twists. Actor 4E J. Smith, who dresses up as a cowboy on Yellowstone, was thrown off a flight for refusing to sit next to a person wearing a mask. That's right, he disapproved of behavior that actually didn't affect, but did protect him on a flying Petri dish. Smith, who plays Lloyd Pierce on the show, is a fierce anti-vax proponent and sat out the SAG Awards in 2022 due to their vaccine policy for attendees. The actor apparently did not have a problem showing up on the set where vaccines and COVID tests were enforced regularly throughout the pandemic. The lesson? Do not compromise your principles unless there's money involved. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A wintry mix of rain and snow is flipping over to all snow as temperatures are falling below freezing by 4 o'clock. Battling breezy winds, around a half an inch of snow accumulation is possible, not to mention a flash freeze of anything that's wet. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Benny. Good morning and welcome to Matineer on Air. Jane Matineer, Greg Bach, the surgeon of sound, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We are delighted to have our friend and colleague join us. We call him the Todd Father. It's Todd Alba. You can catch his show from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. How are you doing, Todd?
It's odd because I woke up this morning and there was a horse head on my pillow, so I'm not sure what that's about.
What have you done?
I told them to deliver it to your enemy, not to your house. Fools!
Hey, I want to remind everybody, you have until 11 o'clock to text in the word golf. You want to download the Civic Media app and then go to whatever station you listen to across the state, whether it's Oshkosh or in Racine or here in Waukesha or in Madison on WMDX. Go to the station you listen to on the Civic Media app, and then there's a little text bar, and you text the word GOLF, G-O-L-F, by 11 a.m. That will put you in the running for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells and be entered into one of two grand prizes. One is some new bicycles, the other with patio, outdoor patio furniture and a fancy schmancy blender. So text the word GOLF, G-O-L-F. You have until 11 o'clock, and then Todd will have the next word from 1 to 2 p.m., and I was listening to your show yesterday, Todd, when you did it in the 1 o'clock hour, and you got such a response that it knocked you off the air.
I cannot confirm nor deny that was the entire reason we got knocked off the air, but we did get a lot of calls. So that was, and I know you guys get a lot of calls, and I can, for those listening, I can tell you the
not
1 o'clock
password.
Not as
many as Todd.
The 1 o'clock word is no. I can't tell you.
No, not yet.
And be very. By the way, be very. I'm glad you spelled it out, Jane, because this hour's word is golf. G O L F, not as in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, not G U L.
Not that kind of golf.
Yeah, we've had
G O L F.
Yes, we've had some interesting misspellings come in over the course of this. It's always interesting. So yes, the word this hour is golf. G O L F.
And right. They have some beautiful golf courses at Chula Vista.
I bet they do.
If you win the prize, wow. You can bring your golf clubs along if you go in warm weather and hit the balls around. And
tie that all in. Just
Todd Alba,
all
professional
together.
From point A to point B. That's why he's the Todd Father.
Exactly.
All hail the Todd Father.
The Todd Father, exactly. When the news broke on Friday that Mike Gallagher was going to be leaving pretty quickly, April 19th, when I saw that news hit Friday afternoon, I immediately texted Todd going, wowza, what's going on? What do you think about this? Let's baselessly speculate.
Absolutely. What's better than baseless speculation?
Right. So is it just that things are so dysfunctional that he couldn't take it anymore?
No, I think, yes, in part. And this is not completely baseless. There are still a few Republicans that talk to me as a former Republican who left the party in 2011. I do not believe that Mike Gallagher has something intimately, on the horizon, like all lined up, like he had to leave right now because this job was waiting for him. I think that there's a sense of frustration, much like Ken Buck, a Republican of Colorado, who has now left and resigned early as well. He appears to have done that in Colorado for very specific reasons. There's a Democratic governor in Colorado, and by the timing in Colorado, leaving, I think, yesterday when he did, it means that a Lauren Boebert, who is a current congresswoman from Colorado,
right,
who is in a seat, she cannot run now in this special election to fill Buck's seat in Colorado because you cannot be a sitting congressperson and run for a new seat. So basically what Buck did is Buck made it work so that Boebert is going to have a very hard time staying in Congress. Go ahead.
I find that so interesting.
I
find that so interesting right. That at least, again, there's one person in that party who is saying essentially enough is enough with Bobo. Bobo's got to go.
Yeah. Wake me up before you, Bobo, because she's got to go.
Because she really sucks. Not good at writing songs, apparently.
I think that I don't know this for a fact, but my summation is, or my hypothesis is, I believe that while I disagree with Congressman Gallagher on some things, I don't believe that he is some sort of a Trumpster. I believe that, he's a former retired Marine. I think he loves his country. I find it fascinating and curious that he is resigning on April 19th, which is very specific.
Yes.
Because had he resigned before that, then Governor Evers could have called a special election, which means that probably Andre Block Jacques Chirac up in that district, as well as Roth, the former state senator, would have the upper hand in winning that special election, thereby being an incumbent, quote unquote. I mean, I shouldn't say quote unquote, but they would be the sitting congressperson while running for the same seat for the full 2-year term. So what Gallagher has done, whether he knows it or not, and my guess is he does, he has opened this up to give Democrats a level playing field, paging Dr. Lyerly, giving Democrats an open level playing field in filling that seat, because Republicans now are not going to have the benefit of incumbency in running this fall.
That's so interesting, Todd. It really is. And is that not indicative of what a mess the party has become now that it is no longer the Republican Party? It's the MAGA Party.
Yeah, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday, and we're going to probably pick up on it a little bit today, and I don't have it right in front of me right now, but there's a congresswoman from Texas, and she has been the House Appropriations Chair. It is one of the plum positions in the House of Representatives, and she announced over the weekend that she is stepping down from that position, and there is some thought and speculation that she will be the next Republican to announce her, not just on re-election, not to run for re-election, but actually resign. Right now, Republicans, as of today, have a one-seat majority in the House of, or a two-seat majority. When Gallagher resigns on the 19th, they will have a one-seat majority, which means it only takes one Republican to say, oh, geez, I didn't quite get back from the bathroom in time before that vote, or just vote present. And or if you have this congresswoman from Texas, if she resigns, then it's even. I truly believe that Hakeem Jeffries will be the Speaker of the House of Representatives before this fall.
Really quick, Andrew Romaine just let us know it's Texas Rep. Kay Granger.
Okay, oh, Granger.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
If you're just joining us, Todd Alba is our guest. You can catch his show from noon to two across the Civic Media Radio Network. Wonderful, wonderful program. We're talking about Mike Gallagher announcing on Friday that he will be leaving Congress on April 19th, as Todd said, a very specific date. The other thing I was speculating with when this news first broke, Todd, was, I mean, it's like, is Liz Cheney behind all of this? You know, it's like, is Liz calling up these lawmakers and saying, look, here, I want you to do a thing. Do this thing for me.
Jane can really do conspiracy theories when she wants to.
Well, Jane and I were having conspiracy. I'm not sure if Jane was drinking. I was over the weekend, and we were texting back and forth.
I want to be part of these conspiracy theories, too.
No, I mean, I think there's something to this. I mean, again, I don't have any specific inside information, but this is kind of what I thought would happen in 2016 when Trump got the nomination. I didn't think that the normal standard bearers of the institution, so to speak, would put up with it, and they did. And there is something inside of me that says, you know, whether it's the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Obamas and the Bidens, all these people who I know a lot of people are like, we're sick of these kind of dynasties in America where we want to blow it up, you know. But there is something to be said for the consistency of the institution. And for better or worse, we move forward at least at a slow pace. Yeah. I think the institution of government, of our parties, the families that kind of are the, for better or worse, the backbone of our political system in America, have said, yeah, this is a bridge too far. Putin is directly controlling Trump. And we might fight amongst ourselves as a family between Democrats and Republicans, but we can't lose our country and our system to Vladimir Putin and the Russians. I think there's something, I'm not going to say it's completely being controlled like some movie, but I think there is pressure being, by the way, have we heard from Paul Ryan lately?
I just saw an interview with him, actually, and he was just sitting back in his chair kind of saying, yeah, this is your mess, not mine. I'm not going to talk about, like, he's just going to stay away from it as possible without losing relevancy.
That makes me really angry.
No, it doesn't make me, I was going to say I'm not buying it, Greg. No offense to you. I'm saying, I think it's just the opposite. I think this is planned in public on interviews. They're sitting back. I think that Paul Ryan and Mike Gallagher have a very good relationship, and I think there are people like Paul Ryan who have said that he will not be at the Republican convention in Milwaukee this year, who is not endorsing Trump. Liz Cheney now has come out and said she's voting for Biden. I think these people are taking the behind-the-scenes, quiet approach to talk to people like Mike Gallagher in Wisconsin. Hey, this congresswoman from Texas, where the Bushes happen to be very influential. If you follow the Bush Presidential Library Twitter, they never do it overtly, but particularly during the Trump administration, when Trump would have, say, something anti-immigration, the Bush Center would tweet something pro-immigration. It's very nuanced, it's very behind the scenes, but I do think there are people trying to help save democracy behind the scenes.
That's a little comforting.
It's comforting, but they need to work faster.
And Paul Ryan, that just makes me furious. He was in there. He had an opportunity to do more and stand up and be moral and chose not to. Just so he could get his magical tax package passed that has been his wet dream since college. All he wasn't able to do was strip Social Security, and he would have been, you know, one happy clam and walked away. That makes me really angry.
Well, and that's something that always
wet dreams, stripping and clams. That's quite a dream, Jane.
Mark that for promos.
Maybe not.
But you know what? Honestly, though, Jane, you bring up a very good point. Something that's always frustrated me are, you know, and I'm sorry, this is not really as much with Democrats and liberals, because, you know, they can space themselves out and be a little more fun and a little more laid back. But when you have these hardline GOP lawmakers who are in, you know, Washington, getting on their stage, getting on C-SPAN or the late night or the talk shows and whatnot, and saying these horrible things, and then they get out of office, and then you just see, like, they're quote unquote normal people with fun senses of humor. And like, I remember the first interview with John Boehner after he left Congress.
Yeah.
He's sitting there with a cocktail smoking. And I've heard members say this is, you know, I can't remember who said it. But they said, we are the, it was Kevin McCarthy. When I look at the Democratic Party, I see America. When I look at us, I see the most exclusive country club in the world. Well, maybe you would bring some of those people in if you just loosened up just a little bit. And those things you say when you're out of office and you have less power, you could have said when you were in the office and made some change.
And why hasn't Paul Ryan leaned on Brian Stile?
And well, again, who's to say that he's not? I mean, it's just not Paul Ryan's style to come out and do something publicly like that. I mean, he's just not going to, that's not the kind of person that he is. My guess is he's leaning on people behind the scenes. I don't have any inside knowledge of that. Just from knowing him a little bit in the past, I think that's just kind of the person he is. I don't disagree with anything you guys have said and the frustration, whether it's Ryan or other Republicans who didn't do more while in office.
Yeah.
But I try to focus on the here and now and the present and just try to be present politically, right? Present in what's current events. And it's going to take a broad coalition to defeat Trump and Trumpism and preserve democracy. So I welcome Democrats. I welcome socialist Democrats. I welcome disgruntled Republicans. I welcome former Republicans. It's Independents, Green Party. It's going to take everyone saying, yeah, we don't agree on a lot of much, but we agree on getting rid of Trump. And once we get rid of Trumpism, we can go back to our infighting fights on policy, but we have to come together as a coalition to defeat Trumpism.
Yeah. So stop making little protests at the primaries. We'll talk about it another time. But
well,
like,
we're going to do that next.
Oh, we are. Okay, great.
It's called Uninstructed.
In the word of my former dentist, oh God.
Do you have a current dentist?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Very good.
Okay.
First Choice Dental in Madison.
They didn't pay.
Nice little plug there. All right, we're going to talk Uninstructed when we return. Stay close. Todd Alba is our guest. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're joined by our friend and colleague, Todd Alba. Catch his show from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Just a reminder, if you ever want to get in touch, if you want to suggest a segment for the show, no matter where you are in the state, if there's something going on in your community, some nonprofit organization you would like to highlight, anything like that, send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. I just got another great suggestion from someone for another episode of Beyond the Cheese.
Oh, we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. So yeah. we're gonna do that as well. So yeah, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Any complaints, talk to Calvin. Todd, we're
send them to
Calvin.
Yeah, I know.
Send them to the Todd Father at civicmedia.org.
All right.
I had somebody text in and say F Todd yesterday during my show.
Oh. We've got some banger of insults lately that are just like, whoa, we're going back to the 80s on these.
People just need to take a breath.
Take a breath.
It'll be okay.
Chill out a little bit, folks. A little bit. All right. This is in the Cap Times this morning. A group of 20 elected officials across Wisconsin now throwing their support behind a movement urging Wisconsin Democrats to vote uninstructed next Tuesday on the primary ballots to protest President Biden's ongoing support of Israel's actions against Gaza. The group of officials range from state lawmakers to members of school boards and local governments. They say the funding for Israel is a betrayal to our shared humanity and an affront to our democratic way of life. And again, we haven't talked about this much, Todd, because I don't feel I have the knowledge to really get into this longstanding conflict between Hamas and Israel and Palestine and Israel. But I think we can all agree that what is happening is an atrocity. What's happening to the people of Gaza? At the same time, what happened on October 7th to Israel was also an atrocity. And what concerns me is that Donald Trump would not be better than President Biden in handling this situation, not by a long shot. Or am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think what people forget is it was Donald Trump who moved the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem just to spite the Palestinians. That's a fact.
Well, and I also want to add, it was not only just to spite the Palestinians, it was to give the evangelicals a win, because yes, that is necessary to pave the way for the return of Jesus Christ.
Yes, you're correct.
Again, I don't know what these folks are thinking as far as casting this uninstructed ballot.
We haven't talked about a lot on our show either, Jane. And you know, I'm not an expert in the Middle East. I mean, I'm a vague. I mean, when I worked for a former congressman here from Wisconsin, certainly dealt with some military issues and some foreign affairs issues that way. Obviously, it's very complicated. It's very nuanced. I agree that the atrocities in Palestine to the Palestinian people, to Gaza, is terrible. But I agree as well that this was started. It was perpetrated by Israel on an attack on October 7th. And the fact that it's Hamas, which is a recognized terrorist group
Yes.
around the world, including the United States, who has said that they do not consider it a win without the extermination of Israel and all Jews. I don't know how you necessarily negotiate with that. And I think it's really unfortunate that you have state legislators and lower in Wisconsin trying to get involved in international politics. I mean, look, I like Francesca Hong, Democrat of Madison, but her quote here is a demand is the word she uses to end military aid to Israel. I mean, Israel is our strongest ally in the Middle East. We have legal and binding agreements and alliances with them, both militarily and otherwise. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been working, again, this is a great, what we were talking about before, working behind the scenes. The Biden administration has installed a temporary port to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza. And when I go on social media and I see groups like this, I don't want to say this group said this, but people within this group and other very left socialist Democrats using hashtag of Genocide Joe, that is completely off the mark. Joe Biden is not responsible for genocide. And it is completely unhelpful to defeating Trump and Trumpism. Because if you don't think that the Republicans are going to take this stuff and say it's Democrats calling Joe Biden Genocide Joe,
yes.
not us,
yes.
yeah. yep. they'll absolutely use that. And this is not the time to try to... As a former Republican, you know, for better or worse, Republicans always get in line, whether it's the right thing to do or not. Democrats continue, in my experience, to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory because they have to, you know, to fight amongst themselves.
Greg said the exact same thing before we went on the air. He got real hot about this.
I told Jane, I said, the one thing I am sick and darn tired, because I want to swear, but I'm not going to, sick and tired of seeing is Democrats lose. And lose in spite of their own willingness to make change, because they're trying to do something, but they can't get together because the tent is so big that we welcome everybody, but then we start fighting over things that are important in the macro. But when we get to the micro, things like, should democracy stand? Yeah, it should. And I'm sorry, but I don't care that you don't like Joe Biden's age. I don't care about many of the things that you don't like. There's things I don't enjoy about him. I wish he was a one-term president, but we don't have someone behind him who can take over. That's unfortunate. But you know what? Deal with it. We'll talk about it in 2028. Right now, you need to get behind him, because if we lose...
Oh, yeah, this is the end.
Right.
Then
I want to be very careful. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just... It gets me so angry to see Democrats do this.
I want to be very careful that, again, I call out the atrocities in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis
yes.
of Palestinians is real. And
yes.
there has to be, but the point is the Biden administration is dealing with that.
Yes.
They are doing that. And to turn, have Joe Biden's own base turn against him when they don't fully, I mean, state legislators are not talking to the Secretary of State. I'm sorry. State legislators do not really know what's going on.
Yeah. I
on
think this,
on this subject.
On this subject. Yep. I think this is a very misguided efforts, and I hope people don't vote uninstructed. That would be, I guess, our instruction.
You're just being instructed to vote.
Just make sure you vote. All right, Todd.
No.
Todd Alva, our guest, thank you so much. Catch his show today from noon to 2. Stay close. News is coming up next. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
What La Crosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about. You're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore Bridge collapse. I'm Sherry Preston. As the search goes on for at least six people,